Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter, on X, at JWright929ESPN. As always, you can listen on the radio dial 92.9 FM, 680 AM. But if you're away from the radio dial, you can stream us anytime, anywhere, not only in the Odyssey app where you can rewind and you can listen on demand. You can also stream us on the iHeartRadio app and the TuneIn Radio app. George Ruggiero is the producer of the program. Glad that he is with us. You can follow him on the Everything app at KingGeorge94. George, good day, sir.
Good afternoon, Jeffrey. How's it going?
It's going well, my man. Are we hosting any Cerrito Entertainment events?
We absolutely are, of course, tonight. Come on down. Hampline Brewing over there in Midtown. We've got music bingo going on tonight. We get started at 7 o'clock. Weather's great. Weather's beautiful today.
Yes.
No better come on and show out.
Yes, this is like one of our truly like Chamber of Commerce days. Like we get like, I feel like 25 of these a year, and this is absolutely outstanding. Joining me on the phone, he is the head coach and team director of Team Thad. You can follow him on all socials at Dream Big Herd. Coach Herd, good day, sir.
Great day, Hump Week. Happy Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday to all. So, I don't know if we'll do specifically buy, sell, short, or go to Reddit. So, I just wanted to start here with a couple of things that came to mind. So, I don't know how busy your Sunday was because you might have been traveling back from Vegas. But did you happen to catch Amari DeMarcado, the running back for the Cardinals? He did it again. Maybe he didn't do it again, but it happened again, where we had a running back, a ball carrier, however you want to say it. We had AD Mitchell, a week ago? Yeah, the Colts-Rams was a week ago. We had it happen to him where fumbles the ball, like, you know, everybody's trying to be too cool, drop the ball basically right when you cross the goal line. Yet again, it was a fumble. Have you seen the reaction video from have you seen the reaction video where, George, remind me Gannon's first name? I want to say Rich, but that's
no,
a different.
No, I was my first.
That's
was
a different
like Rich Gannon.
Gannon?
No.
We'll call him Coach Gannon.
Jonathan.
Yeah. Jonathan. Yeah. Yeah, maybe he's got to go John now. Just saying. Like, yeah. Then again, I stick with Jeffrey. So, okay. Have you seen the video where he goes up to him on the sideline?
Yes, I saw that. I didn't see as much as I should have Sunday because I was coming back from Vegas, and you know that time difference is crazy. Once you leave, it's nighttime.
Oh, it's a wasted day. it's a completely wasted Sunday. Okay, so but you've seen
but
at least
I saw that play.
You saw,
I saw
the video
play where when you say it again, I was like, hold on, the same person did.
No. I don't. As far as I know, I don't have any evidence of DeMarcado, but it happened literally a week ago.
Yeah, and you know, people keep saying, Jeffrey, and I know you probably saying it in your head, like, it's almost like I just keep hearing, I don't know about your circles, Jeff. I know we got some mutual circles, but I feel like most of the world can't believe this is still happening in 2025. Like, years ago, when it first started being highlighted, people like, okay, but now it's almost like, just take another step. Like before you get your celebration, can you just get both feet in, but it keeps happening. Just when we think it'll never happen again, it happens.
That's exactly what we say. Like, I still cannot believe it still happens today. also, I think it begs the more important question, like, is it really that cool? Like, whatever happened to spiking the ball? Like, or like, I think maybe what coaches got to start doing now is, like, you have to convince, I guess, your guys, because it does feel like everybody wants to, it's like, what am I going to do in the end zone? I was willing to give him a little bit of slack because he might have just been tired. He did run 71 yards. I think he might have just, like, gotten to the end zone and been tired. But, like, I feel like we need to start encouraging guys to incorporate the football into whatever celebration they're going to have, because it seems like trying to get people to stop doing it, like, it's just not possible. So I guess we have to start encouraging guys to incorporate the football in whatever celebration they're going to do, because it blows my mind that it still happens. But this was the other thing I was going to ask you about. Do you think it's right that the league clearly made Jonathan Gannon publicly apologize for the scene on the sideline, which, by the way, all he did was put his finger in his chest. By the way, he's wearing shoulder pads. And then he gets fined $100,000.
Whoa.
For context, Jerry Jones just got fined $250,000, just nearly, you know, basically. And also, if you do it on the Jerry Jones money scale versus Jonathan Gannon money scale, like, that's, you know, pennies to him for literally flipping the bird to Jets fans. Excuse me. He was trying to give a thumbs up, he said, to Cowboys fans. Everybody's saying, go Cowboys. That was an unbelievable tell your story. But, like, basically finding people equal money just about there for something that clearly should have been fined versus, like, I don't know, man. Like, I feel like that seems like a perfectly reasonable thing for a coach to do.
Yeah, I think that was too much. I do think the NFL try to go by your pace. Well, NBA, I know for sure they try to go by your pay scale sometime, right? Like, I know, like, I don't know, I could be wrong, but I feel like some of the fines that stars have gotten or a job got before, I feel like if it was a guy that they know they didn't have as much, you know what I'm saying?
There's only one guy that rule doesn't apply to, Draymond.
Yeah. Everybody else is a kind of... And then the funny thing about the Jerry Jones thing, when I saw that, because that's why I don't hit you with everything now, because I didn't got tricked a few times, I kind of thought that was AI or fake. I really didn't think
on that one, the video, because it's so grainy, I can definitely, and that's the thing, it's like Jerry's such like a clown just as an actual character. I'm with you. That could have easily been, I was like, that could have been AI. But then when everyone was like, no, this is real, I was like, okay.
Yeah, because at his age, I know he liked to have fun. I just didn't think he would, and you know he's Jerry Jones. Somebody's recording. Like, but to him, I'm going to be real with you. I don't count people money. Him giving $250 is almost like volunteer work. Like, if somebody was a scammer and stole $250 from him right now, he probably wouldn't know it was gone and maybe not even research it, right? So that's how crazy Jerry got it. But I think they went too hard on the coach. And another thing, too, Jeffrey, and I know I shouldn't be taking up for these players, but I think it was him or the one the week before that the ball kind of was had went across the line. So some people think, and I don't like to, because I coach kids, and one thing about kids, you have to be direct with them. You can't give them no wiggle room sometimes when you're teaching them the proper way to do things or you're teaching them accountability, right? So I don't want to take that from it. But it's like, I don't know if it was this week or last week, but I think it was the Cardinal guy. People have shown angles on social media where that the ball did crawl, you know, because the ball.
Yeah, I think they reviewed it. Pylon cam showed that he had not crossed the line. But when you have, there's like an overhead angle that does look like, oh, he lets it go, but it's like, you can tell he lets it go forward, and when it touches the ground, it bounces, like, on the line. So he clearly hadn't scored.
So let me ask you this. When they keep saying, and this goes to show you I'm crazy or whatever, ignorant with it at times, because they have changed the rules, they called it a touchback now, right?
Correct.
So they don't put the ball on the one-yard line?
No, it's like the you can fumble it at the one out of bounds and get it at the one. But if you fumble it and it goes through the end zone, it's always a touchback.
Meaning your team gets it or their team gets
they're,
it.
They get the it. The, you give up the ball and they get it at the 20.
Oh, that's why I was like.
Oh, this the, right. it cost the Cardinals a win. Now, there were other insane plays. I don't know if you happen to see the Cam throws an interception. Guy goes down, but he's not touched. But he's down for at least a second or two. Gets back up. I can't remember which receiver it was. Pops the ball out. Ball bounces into the end zone. Another guy dives on top of it. Touchdown, Titans.
Oh, I saw that. The Titans. Yeah. I saw that. If it went for that, I said we had to win in the lucky as well or whatever. Even though I 49, I support the Titans. I'm like, oh my, they really. If you got a score like that, you're having a bad year because that was one of the most extreme. It's like 2-3 people could have had it and it kept going and going and then somebody ran and dived on it. So Jeff, let me ask you this:
well, dude, think about this. If the DB just stays on the ground, it's over.
Game is over, isn't it? That is true. Jeffrey, do you think that rule is
so the touchback
mind,
rule?
The touchback, do you think that's like fair though?
So here would be my view on it. All of the rules now make it impossible to play defense. It's one of those rules where logically when you work it out, it really doesn't make that much sense based on like how we do pretty much everything. So a lot of times the ball, like when you fumble it, it just goes back to the spot of the fumble. I don't love the idea of the defense didn't actually recover the fumble and they get the ball back. But it's one of those things where everything's so skewed against defense, I'm kind of fine with it being a rule because it's like basically the one thing that benefits the defense in the rule book.
I agree with that. And it's so hard, like you say, especially for DBs to play defense. I do. My slight pushback, Jeffrey, I probably would give it to the offense back at the 20, though.
I don't hate that. I don't hate that if you fumble it out, like it goes back to the 20. I don't hate that. I just, logically to me, it's like if you're going to force a turnover, I think you have to actually possess the ball and you wind up not doing it. But it's kind of like one of those chaotic things. It always happens, I don't know, maybe like 5 times a year. Like, honestly, I'm more cool with it on a ball carrier just dropping the ball. Where I start to get a little annoyed is when no play, like, I almost think like it should be a punishment for stupidity. Like, you could have easily gotten into the end zone. Like, I'm fine with like punishing like bad play, but it is a little like, I don't know how well it sits with me, even though I feel like I'm offensively minded in general. Like, the fact that no one like really made a play to get the ball back, like that's kind of where I struggle with it.
Yeah, that's almost like, I know you're a way bigger gambler than me, but like at the casino, if you ever played blackjack?
Oh, it's my casino game.
Okay, so I messed with blackjack. So Vegas is a little different from, I'm not as probably on it like you, but like Vegas is a little different from like Tunica back in the day where like, depending on which casino you go to, you got the blackjack and then you got the poker or whatever. That
yeah, the play in the hands,
side.
The hands on the side. I've noticed so a lot of those casinos got rid of that because I think you could actually make money doing that.
Yeah, and most of them got different rules like this one.
Right.
Like, so back in the day when it was serious, it was good. It was like 9-1 on certain cars. I feel like that's what you're getting when you and you don't do anything and you get a touchback. And now the defense didn't do anything to say it. I would make it intriguing. I'm with you because it is stupidity for grown men to stop doing it at the 1. I would give it back to the offense at the 20, but that's not why I would stop out, Jeffrey. You have it at the 20. You would like this, but it's still first and goal at the 20. So it ain't like you got a chance of getting.
I don't hate that
first down. You feel what I mean, like
because basically, you know, like let's be real, first and goal from the 20, you're kicking a field goal. So basically, you're kind of penalizing them 4 points.
Yeah, or you might get a real turnover.
Yeah, but like to me, it's like, all right, first and goal from the 20. I would imagine the scoring percentage is around like 3% of the getting a touchdown. And so basically what you're saying is you cost your team 7, but we're not going to cost you, but we're going to give you 3 rather than costing your team 7.
I didn't look at it that deep. I just thought, but yeah, you're right. Or should we push it back more, 40 to the 40?
No, I think that's about right. Like, is it, right. You know, like you said, you can still give the other team. Now, the problem is you know exactly what's going to happen. First and goal from the 20, they're going to throw a slant pass, and there's going to be illegal contact or defensive holding, 5-yard penalty, automatic first down.
But you can't get first down.
No, but if it, that's the thing, if it's first and goal, it's automatic first down, and so you'd reset the chains.
Yeah. We would have to think if the NFL put us over there, we would have to probably get the details together. But I think that's definitely better than like you just said. Like the defense just gets the ball; they haven't done anything. That's crazy.
But part of it, like I guess that is part of the idea, is like that's kind of where I net out. It's like once we started adding illegal contact and the way that illegal contact's like actually officiated, you could call it every time. And then you get in some games, they do call it every time. And then other games, it's like, no. Like, I don't know. I'm just fine with it. I think the bigger issue that I had with it is I get it. Maybe you don't like the visual of a coach poking his finger at a player. But it's like, what if, I don't know. How about this novel concept? It's the coach taking up for the other 52 guys on the team that he just cost.
Yeah. And I didn't really see that, Jeffrey, but it sounded like what he like kind of called the player out and was poking in his chest hard or something.
Yeah, like, but it's like he's wearing pads. I guess the other thing was Banana Lance. Like, I get it, man. You want to be a good teammate, but it's like, it's one thing to like pat the guy on the back and be like, hey, you'll get him next time or like whatever. But it's like, there's like guys that are like coming over and like absolutely like consoling him. And I'm like, man, this isn't like, I guess I'd contrast like this. Derrick Henry's been going through a fumble problem. I could understand teammates wanting to go over to him and console him, but it's like, nobody forced the ball out. Like, he was the one that chose to drop the football. It's like all in the sake of being cool. And like, I just don't understand where we are. We're like, you can't actually tell somebody, hey, dumbass, don't do that.
You know what's crazy? I'm watching it now and everything you're saying. The players are consoling him, the big offensive lineman, almost like it's a funeral or something sad. And then the coach, and you know what I was seeing yesterday, that the coach got fined. I almost thought they usually make flyers like that when somebody gets fired. I saw the F.
It's one letter different. Yeah.
And I saw that. So I will say this. I don't have no problem with it. You generally don't see this in the NFL. This is more of a college act. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. Coaches really have the heart to approach most of the NFL guys because I guess they're men, but I have no problem with it. I guess if you are sensitive, if you just want to think about humane, maybe the person is emotional at the time and some people feel like, you know, people are sensitive and feel like you can be kicking somebody while they're dying. You know, people got ways of thinking of stuff these days.
I also wondered, I think the Cardinals thought there was no way they were losing the game. Because at the time, they're up 21-6. I think that would have made it 28-6. If that game was 21-17, I don't think the other players have the same reaction. I think it's easy to sit there and do the whole, hey, man, like, we're behind you. Like, you can do that whole thing. Because they never really considered that they were going to lose.
No, Jeff, I agree with you, and I'm actually looking at it on Twitter or X, and I'm going to be real with you, Jeffrey. Like, the world have changed because a lot of the comments like this, I guess this was way before the fine, and a lot of comments like, They're not going to mess with Jonathan anymore. They're not going to support the Cardinals. He should be fired immediately. So I guess the Brewers should. It's more people on the running back side.
So this is, I think, that weird reality of, like, I think that honestly is partly why the NFL came out like they did. I think the NFL is worried about the whole image and whatnot. I honestly believe, though, most rational people had no problem with it. And I think that's one of those classic social media reactions. Like, I thought we were past this. Like, I thought one of the lessons we've had in the last 5 years is that the online world is nowhere near reality. But it still seems like it creeps up in weird times at weird moments and people start totally going the wrong direction.
Well, you might be right, because I'm reading some from Dez Bryant where he retweeted and put the comment. He put, "I do not agree with the Cardinals finding Coach Gannon $100K. I believe it's only happened because of the soft bleep world we live in today. If you're an athlete with any kind of integrity and respect for the game, you'll understand that situation. This is football. And it's clearly played the game in the hardest way." So, yeah, like you said, he's saying it is because of the whining from the world, too. So I think you're on the same page with guys that have been around the game and the world. And we do know this, Coach, even from criminal trials that are going on right now to civil trials, the media has gotten so crazy, people be getting innocent, like innocent from the criminal trial, innocent from the civil trial. But so – if they lost on Twitter,
I'll go one more. This is something that drives me insane now. People will make allegations in a civil suit and it gets written up like it happened.
Yeah.
It's like it hasn't been proven. Okay, like to me, it's like if you want to make note of the allegations, that's fine, but it gets written up like it happened. It's like, no, in a civil suit, I can say anything. It has to get proven one way or the other. But you know what I mean? Like, I can say, you know, Coach Hurd's doing bad stuff. And then it just gets written as Coach Hurd does bad stuff. It's like, no, one person alleged that it did go that way. It's like, no, it hasn't been proven.
No, that's the scary thing about the world. But to double down on that, Jeffrey, you know, and I hope no listener do this, but I know a lot of people know. You know, Jeffrey, if I go downtown right now and say that Jeffrey assaulted me, they would still come pick you up. Now, you can bail out.
Yeah.
You got to figure out in court. But just by me saying Jeffrey smacked me, now I'm only showing no proof, or maybe I showed a scar on my face.
Yeah, maybe you rubbed your cheek right before walking in to make it red.
Yeah, so they actually – so. A lot of that, man, and I know we on our sports thing, but on 92.9, you know, y'all do a great job of, you know, on subjects that's all across needing. That's what's a little scary, like you say, from the media to stuff like that, that most people, Jeffrey, and I'm saying this with respect, the media has to be careful. And I'm not even talking about the sports media. I'm talking about worldwide media, because – most people in the world or in America, and I don't mean to be harsh when I say this, not leaders. And what I mean, and I don't mean in a bad way, you can be a millionaire. Most people, if they read something, or you be the first one that's like, if I talk to somebody before Jeffrey, you talk to somebody before me, we can go on here and have their mind flipping, if that makes sense. Like, if you go on and tell them Hurd did something bad, their mind has already made the
decision. It goes back to the first impression.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
We
like,
have to be careful, because even the little stuff, not to get into it, was Louisiana, but not even that. It's like sometimes we can be so harsh on people who ain't built like that, to the point Jeffrey then said Hurd is bad. Now hundreds of people on Twitter are saying it. Now, you know what I'm saying? Now it ain't got crazy, and it ain't even got to be true.
Oh, no. I'm with you entirely, because, like, it's just like, and it's like, it's, especially if it's something that is serious, it's like, we just can't, like, you can't divorce, like, even if it's not true, it's like, yeah, I don't know, like, it just sticks with you.
For sure.
All right, there's one other thing I wanted to ask you about. So, Connor McDavid, who's like pretty much considered the best hockey player right now. And I know you and I, of course, the biggest hockey guys in the world, although I did wind up watching hockey last night. That shows you how desperate I was for sports. So he's taken a team, like a team-friendly deal. Now, he's still going to be one of the highest-paid players in the league, but think of it like this. I believe when, like, think of it like when Brady, I think, was playing for like $20 or $22 million, and I think Peyton was like the highest paid at like 38. So like kind of in that scale. Do you think players should ever actually take a pay cut, or do you think they should always, especially in a salary cap sport, they should always get as much as they can?
So I'm the type that I do feel like, not in a selfish way, because anybody who know me, Jeffrey, know I have turned down money for integrity. But I do think people should get their worth. And I do think in this world, you should try to make as much money as you can, not selfishly for you, but even if it's for to set your family up for generations, or, you know, even if you're a person that believe in charity and all of that, right? With that being said, where I slightly contradict myself is as, like, if I was LeBron and I'm kind of like, not to count his pockets, a billionaire, and feel like I could never go broke and my kids could they have a better chance of winning the championship, I slick would have not took $40 million in 40 years. And that's my favorite player, so I'm not knocking him, but I think that they would have a better chance right now if they could get one more star with him and Luka, and he'd have cut his money. So that industry, yeah, but in the overall, for the most part, I do feel like you should get, you know, as much money as you can, you know, in this world, in the amount of time you got to get it.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, like, I think it depends. I think the way that I came down on it is it kind of depends on what position you're playing. Like, if I'm a, let's say I'm a safety. Is there a single safety in the world that's ever been judged by whether or not he wins championships?
How did you think about it? I think no.
So, if I'm a safety, I think I owe it also to the rest of every other safety to set the market and get as much money as possible. Mm-hmm. I do think if you're a quarterback, though, and you think about it, if we are going to basically judge your greatness based solely upon how much you win, if I have firm belief that the organization that I play for, if I were to give them a sweetheart deal and that would get me maybe an extra offensive tackle, maybe that gets us another pass catcher, maybe we're weak on defense and that allows us to beef up the defense, and I really believe that they were going to use the money like that, I think I would do it. But I think it weirdly, it kind of depends on position, because I'm with you. It's like LeBron would argue he never takes a pay cut because it sets the whole market. And that's fine. Like, LeBron has the right to do what he wants. But I'm with you. It's like, if you're at this stage of LeBron, are you really, like, is that extra dime going to matter? And it's like, I know it's easy to sit there and say with somebody else's money. It's like, I think in terms of your legacy, though, winning a championship as, like, in your 40s as a main character and a main player, it's like, that starts to change the whole argument. Like he's never going to beat Jordan on the – Jordan went 6-for-6. Like, you're just never going to beat that argument, no matter how many times he's tried. So it's like, you have to beat it in different ways. And it's like, I think I would. It's kind of like what Dirk did. You know, remember Dirk ends up taking the pay cut,
yeah,
and that allowed
– and them did it too, yeah.
Correct. And so I think that's kind of how – to me, it comes down to, are you at a point in your – are you the type of player that gets judged solely based upon whether or not you win championships?
And then, now you just said something good, Jeffrey, that I didn't think about. If I'm going to be real, first of all, let's say this. To take a pay cut, you got to already been and got probably one.
And I think we should also specify, there's not a running back alive that should ever take a pay cut.
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
Yeah.
First of
totally
all,
agree.
You got to already probably been playing this sport almost 10 years and then got one or two maxes. Let's start with that to take a pay cut. Secondly, if we're talking about football, the only time I would take a cut, because I was on basketball, if I was a quarterback and I already at least got one max deal, football in the snap of a minute, your life can change. So I ain't gonna lie to you. I probably would not, unless I'm, like I said, quarterback only. I can't think of no, because every other position, the trenches is off the chain. Even though they make a lot of money, D-line,
no, it's
O-line.
A collision sport. Like, literally, like, yes, we know bad things can happen playing any sport, but it's like, there's a lot higher chance of paralysis in a sport where everybody's going full speed and trying to kill each other.
Oh, for sure. Somebody just got hurt. I mean, people get hurt, and then look at Joe Burrow. Like, even if I'm him, I'm thinking, no, I can never take a pay cut, right? Because of how he been going. Now, basketball, and of course, you don't have to do that in tennis. Golfing is already set. So
In baseball, I think it's a little different. Since there technically is no salary cap, I'm kind of cool. You know what I mean? Like, I kind of respect Zach Greinke would say, listen, if they paid me $250 million to pitch on the moon, I'd pitch on the moon. It's like, I do kind of respect that. Like, at least he's open about it. Like,
I mean, people got mad at golfers a couple years ago. I don't know if it's still a beef because I heard they combined. When they started going over to, what's the people that came with all the money?
The Saudis. They were taking PIF money.
Yeah, what's the name of it?
The Public Investment Fund.
What was the name of the other league?
Live Golf.
Live Golf, like Tiger, he kept his integrity, but I think Jack and the rest of them, like, hold on, these people paying a lot of crazy money and not asking for a lot, right? They trying to take over.
Jack was also building golf courses for the Saudis.
Well, I will say this too, though. When they came in, who don't like going over to fun parent house? It exposed PGA a little bit, even though they have because a lot of the golfers started saying that their rules were too strict. Now, you know, you got to have accountability, right? And it was like, Liv came.
Listen, Liv didn't get them all paid like the Liv guys did, but the golfers make more money today than they did 3 years ago, and it's because of Liv.
It's because of Liv, and that's honestly what I think in reverse. Just tell you a little of my problems in reverse. I wish that MLG and W can get some competition like tomorrow. Like, I really wish that.
Oh, my God. Heard. We lost power on Monday night, and it was so perfect. It's like 6:50. It's like 10 minutes before we're getting ready to get my daughter down, like bath and bedtime, which is a war. Just an absolute war. And I'm sitting there like, yes. We got a Monday night game. I was kind of excited to watch Jags and Chiefs. We had the Grizzlies preseason game. And then there was playoff baseball. And so I'm like, man, I got three games. I can watch everything on my screen. I was super excited. And then the power goes out. And my wife, when the power goes out, she can't function. Like, she has so much anxiety worrying about the what's in the refrigerator, what's in the freezer. We had clothes in the washer. Like, she's just going bananas. And literally it didn't come on until 2 a.m.
Yeah, I know some people in East. I stay out more.
It was literally my neighborhood. There was some issue. It got popped on for most people like within an hour, and then my neighborhood didn't have it for like 7.
Well, it was some more neighborhoods like yours, because I know you in the upper East Memphis, but I know some people that stay in the other East Memphis. They was telling me it was a blackout. This was like Monday night, I remember. A couple people was texting me like, everything is out, so... No, that's an issue. But Jeffrey, when I tell you that, you know, me and you are around the same. You 07, I think, in MUS. I'm 05. I remember back when the cell phones was coming out around our time, you couldn't talk out the 9. But then when you had like
anytime minutes, baby.
Yeah, the in it. Then
nights and weekends.
The cheaper ones, the Cricket and the Metro, and it was one out in Mississippi. When they started doing unlimited, people laughed. But next thing you know, it forced it, T-Mobile, AT&T, and I don't think it'll ever happen. But if we could get competitions for MLG and W, because my friends in Mississippi, like in Olive Branch and stuff, and we got similar houses, and my MLG and W bill is 4 or 5 times, you know, bigger than theirs or whatever. I'm like, this is crazy. You know what I mean?
You're 100% right. Cellular South.
Yes. Then they called it something else.
C-Spire.
Yeah. Let Mississippi in certain spots.
Yeah. All right, Coach, you're good to join us. Appreciate you.
Thank you. Y'all have a good one, George and Jeffrey.
That is Coach Hurd, of course, up theme Thad. We come back. Let's talk some Tiger basketball, Tiger athletics. We've got Jason Munns joining the program next. There's a couple of things that have been brought to my attention about tickets that I want to discuss with Munns, because I've worked myself into a frenzy about an hour ago, so I want to discuss this with Munns. We'll talk about it next, right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Jason Munns!
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Tiger basketball beat writer for The Commercial Appeal. You can follow him on X at Munsley. Munns, what are we listening to?
Jeffrey, this is the great Stevie Ray Vaughan and his rendition of "Mary Had a Little Lamb." And I want to say it's today's song choice, partially inspired by the great Colin Cody.
What did Colin do?
Well, he happened to call me out of nowhere about 30 minutes ago, and I was telling him that I was having a hard time coming up with my song for today. And he made a couple suggestions. One of them was Stevie Ray Vaughan, and my mind immediately went to this song. He didn't realize that Stevie Ray did this, had a version of the old nursery rhyme.
But, I got to be honest, I'm not sure I did. My dad loves Stevie Ray Vaughan. My dad loved that whole Austin, Eric Johnson, you know, the instrumental guitarist, like that whole Austin scene. My dad loved it.
Yep. I think most people's dads are just they're just required to like Stevie Ray Vaughan. So that doesn't surprise me. But yeah, it's not like super unknown that he this tune of his, but. I'm a big fan of it.
He is also one of the few, like I ask you out of honestly, just to make sure that the listeners know, but it's like I've never even heard this version of "Mary Had a Little Lamb." It's like that's Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Yes,
like his guitar tone, everything. It's like that's Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Yeah, I mean, like when you know it's in Eddie Van Halen, when you know it's Slash, he's one of the, I would say, foremost, it's Tom Morello, it's Eric Clapton, like it's Stevie Ray's right there in the thick of that conversation.
And like, it's interesting, Prince was largely considered one of the greatest guitarists of all time, but I'm not sure like I can just identify it based on like the tone of his guitar.
I would agree with that. Mainly I think because he was so much more popular just as a pop star.
Hit maker.
Just a hit maker. And I would say that, like, you know, most of his hits didn't feature the guitar that much. I mean, like, it was in there and obviously he was capable of it. I mean, his part on "While My Guitar Gently Weeps," the performance at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction with it also featured Tom Petty and Jeff Lynne and George Harrison. Like, it was like that. Everybody needs to go to that.
Well, that's the event, right, where someone asked Clapton, "What's it like to be the greatest guitar player alive?" Yeah. He said, "I don't know. Go ask Prince."
Go ask Prince. So yeah, I mean, when you know it's Hendrix, Stevie Ray's in there, and it's a shame that people don't think of Prince in that way, because as you just said, Eric Clapton, like, you know, the greats do look at him that way. So,
all right, there's a couple of things I wanted to discuss with you. Okay.
All right.
So I can't remember if I mentioned this to you before, but so obviously the ticket sales for Hoops for St. Jude has been a talking point.
Yep.
It was pointed out to me, like, if you do Google Hoops for St. Jude, it's very easy to go find the tickets. There's a direct link to the Ticketmaster spot if you just Google hoops for St. Jude Classic, and you can easily buy them there. But this led me down a rabbit hole of, all right, I want to go and look at Tiger season tickets for basketball. Why can I go to Ole Miss, I can go to Mississippi State's websites, and I can buy season tickets like four clicks of my mouse?
Mm-hmm.
Why can I not do that with the University of Memphis? And they appear to, they, it looks like all three of them, and I'm not, this is not picking and putting them against each other. They all look to me to use the exact same system.
Right. Yeah. I hope that that's a rhetorical question, because unfortunately that's not an answer that I have no idea. But I believe you. Like I if what you're saying is, and again, I believe you, like if that's true, then it is something that seems like it's well within the institution's control to, like, you know, if you're looking at things you can do that you can control to at least cover that base and say, we've eliminated, we've checked that one off the list as possible reasons for, you know, why things are the way they are. You would think that that would be one that you would just be able to do. I haven't looked at it. I don't doubt what you're saying, but
I was willing, because, like, I don't know. I'm not really in this business of trying to kick them. You know, I'm not built that way. Like, I'm not trying to just, like, point the finger and be like, and I'm willing to give them the benefit of the doubt. Like, okay, what's a key difference between Ole Miss and Mississippi State? They own their buildings. They have complete control of the building. And so I'm wondering, like, do they have to use a certain system? Because the Grizzlies are contracted to use Ticketmaster or whoever, you know what I mean? Like, I'm willing to say, like, I may not know.
Right.
But if you are, at the end of the day, if you are in the ticket business, it makes no sense to me how it's that difficult. And maybe the answer is, like, hey, they want you to speak with one of their sales representatives because they want donations or whatnot. It's like, if I'm buying the Ole Miss tickets, like, I make the donation, like, it's part of the price. It's like, here's the price for the ticket. The donation is this. Click to buy. And it was the same thing at Mississippi State.
Mm-hmm.
George is weighing in.
I think I found it.
Okay.
And it's very weird, very convoluted. So as we're talking about this, we checked it before the show earlier. I'm on now the desktop version, Go Tigers Go.
Okay.
There's a drop down that says tickets. But if you look to the right, there's like four little icons, a magnifying glass, a donation icon, a shopping one, and a tickets one. If you click on where it says tickets, it'll just have all the different links to different places. I just clicked on Memphis Basket, like the men's basketball. There's a link for season tickets, and that brings you a place where you can just click buy now and buy some season tickets.
All right. So I just clicked the season tickets.
And then it brings you,
so I don't know, maybe,
the sections.
I don't know if this was an issue of the computer we were on. Because it wasn't like I was trying to buy from my phone.
No. This did not show up earlier.
Yes, this did not exist. I'm kid you not, 35 minutes ago.
Now, I will say this is a different system, I think, because I don't believe.
No, it's the same one. Whatever, PacIO, whatever. That's the same.
Is that the same
one?
Yeah,
it's the same people.
I was going to say, for what it's worth as well, Memphis, their, like, ticket sponsor, like, resale is SeatGeek, not Ticketmaster.
Jeffrey, you're doing that thing where, like, somebody's, you know, at their office, at their desk, and something, they're having a computer problem, and like, it's killing them. And then as soon as they call over the IT person, it goes away. Like,
I mean, honestly, I have to sit there and go, full narcissist, I was ranting about it on Twitter, and it fixed. Yeah. It's fixed.
Ah. Oh, okay. All right.
The right person saw it.
I see what you're doing there. That's like a
somebody,
few years
listen,
ago.
Somebody did tag Ed Scott in there.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny. That reminds me, a few years ago at the FedEx St. Jude Championship, I was following around Sahith Thegala, and
Pepper Pal.
I Googled his, I went to his Wikipedia page just to sort of, bone up before the interview, and it said his nickname was the Rocket. And so I asked him about it, and he goes, he like looked exasperated. He goes, I have no idea what that is. Nobody's ever called me that. So I tweeted it, and within 10 minutes, it was taken off of Wikipedia. And so, yeah, that just reminds me of that. I actually sent him, because at the time his DMs were still open.
Yeah.
I think this was his rookie year. So I sent it to him, and he sent back a laughing emoji and said, thanks. So that's my Sahith Agala story.
No, he's actually a really good dude.
He seems like a
He's a very good dude. He was very popular at Pepperdine, even though he's a lot younger than I am. Okay, so there are a couple other things that I wanted to discuss with you. Let's first. I know you've got a story up about Penny, but yesterday we had, what are we calling it, the season opening media availability? Is it the equivalent of media day, like what it used to be, local media day?
I guess. I mean, we might as well. It was the first time that we had a formal sit down press availability at the LWC since last season.
Okay. So the response that seems to be generating the most interest is the lack of fandemonium.
Yeah.
And I want to be very clear. Penny did not, at least, and you tell me, you were there because I was just watching the clip. Did not come across as whining. Like, it kind of came across as sympathetic.
Yes. Wistful. Yes. It was not, he was not like chastising by any stretch of the imagination. He was just like lamenting the fact that, you know, things are different than the way they used to be. And, you know, he's talking about why that is, the various reasons why that is. And I think, tough to like sit there and listen to him as he was sort of like, again, wistfully going through his thought process on the whole situation.
Okay, so I think this is the larger question that I have is, I'm just not entirely convinced the declining attendance is just because people don't know the names. I think in the end, what we're seeing across the country is people are showing up if they think that you can win big. And I don't really know if like it's necessarily a pure Penny problem. Like, I think with Memphis, I think there's a lot more layers to it. Because I also think like baked into a lot of this is quote unquote hope. And I think that there's this changing reality of in this universe, like, they can have the best team in the American. I don't know if they can fund a national championship contender. And so you've had this program that is, for much of its existence, most of its existence, whether or not it was appropriate at that time or not, they could have the national title aspirations. And now, I don't necessarily know if that's true. But like, I just keep wondering, how much of it is it, do you think it is, just solely based on what has happened on the court?
No, there's not one thing. There are a lot of things, and that's to me, like, I genuinely believe that there isn't one thing that is more to, I guess, for lack of a better term, blame for the way things look from like attendance wise for men's basketball. Like, I don't think it's only this or only that or whatever. It's I think it's equal parts, reasonably speaking, like, it's equal parts a lot of things. I think the conference situation, people don't want to come see Rice. People don't want to come see UTSA. People don't want to come see Tulsa.
And they don't want to fork over $5,000, even, you know what I mean? Like, even if they give up their ticket, it's just like, man, I'll pay for the couple of games I want to go to.
And I am not convinced that the whole thing about, you know, well, Memphis hasn't made a deep run in the NCAA tournament in a long time. They've only one NCAA tournament win under Penny's era. Like, I last year, Memphis won 29 games, dominated the conference, got a 5 seed in the NCAA tournament, which was the best seed it had in a decade and a half, and it didn't matter. It did not matter. The people did not show up. The most well attended game last season for Memphis in terms of tickets scanned, actual butts and seats, was like 11,000 and change, and that was for Ole Miss. Like, how many Ole Miss fans were there? You know what I mean? Like, that's the point that I'm making, is that, like,
probably 2,500-ish?
Yeah, I would say so. Like, the point being that part of the reason why that one was so high is because of who, you know, the regional opponent. It's 45 minutes away, that sort of stuff. I think Penny even alluded to this yesterday. Like, our community's got some our city's got some problems. You know, there's a perception about downtown. I think there's also the competition with the Grizzlies. Like, a lot of people in this, like, not even just this city or this
the market
region. This is like a thing everywhere, I think, most everywhere. You have to pick and choose. Like, not very few people can like support both. Very few people can have season tickets to the Grizzlies and the Tigers. And, you know, right now the Grizzlies have Ja Morant. They have a sort of a generational superstar type player and other really, really, really good players that make them very fun to watch. Very, fun night out is the Grizzlies right now. And so I think there's so many, as you said, layers to this whole conversation that there isn't one thing that you can point your finger to and say, this is the diagnosis and here's how you fix it. But I think last year, number five seed, I know they were one and done. I know that disappointed a lot of people, but you had a consensus second team All-American on that team, and they did better than any other team has in the last 15 years, and yet here we are. But the talk about the unfamiliarity with the players, I think that plays a part in it too.
No, I definitely think it's a lot like we were talking about. Like, I think every quote unquote customer has a reason. I do think some people it's the lack of familiarity, but it's like, if you want to just say like that's the one thing, and I'm not making the argument that people are, but like, to me, it's like, you know, I also look at the Grizzlies have raised their ticket prices. Maybe you were someone that once upon a time, you know, had tickets to both. But now the Grizzlies prices are up and you made the decision. Right. Like, you're either doing one or you're, you know, and they stuck with the Grizzlies. Or, you know, I definitely think at this point it's fair to say the conference realignment saga has definitely taken its toll and it has hurt people. Mm-hmm. I also think there's a generational thing at play. You know,
I agree.
We're now getting into where the millennials are the people that you're depending on, the backbone of your ticket base. And my generation has shown that, like, we'll pay to go to a couple games, but we're not really big on the whole buy every game. And it's been more, it's more based on like a particular experience. And so there's a lot going on. But then the other story that you have written about is we now have more TV times. Have we gotten a better grasp of how the conference is going to pay out? Like, because Memphis is going to clearly be the belle of the ball in terms of the conference for television and outside, you know, non-conference television. Have we gotten any indication exactly of how they would be compensated for such?
Nothing specific, and I'm not sure that. You know, I don't know that we will before the fact. I feel like that's going to come. That's something that will come after the fact. However, Media Day, American Conference Media Day is coming up.
The American, please.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I got caught saying AAC today.
Okay. Oh, it happened to me 2 or 3 weeks ago. I got an email from a person in the American office, and it was just a friendly reminder.
Thank you for your email.
Yeah, it was a friendly reminder and everything. And but anyway, no, yeah, the American Media Day is coming up next Monday, so That is going to be a question that I feel like will be asked and hopefully addressed at least more than what we know right now. Again, I doubt very seriously they're going to give us.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.